necessary steps, activities, and personnel moves needed to perform the reorganization of the finance office with a fully constructed time chart and full cost projections and estimated completion of the reorganization. I would urge the board to require such a detailed plan be created and presented with a presentation of the current and future expenditures before full acceptance by the board is granted. Fundraising drives. 2002 has been an exceptional year for fundraising, but we should go into calendar year 2003 with a more modest expectation, and Ed Leslie dealt upon it. The economy under the current national regime is causing a deepening economic downturn. If the country goes into overt war, the economic downturn will be most likely worse for the population base, which has significantly supported Pacifica. And if you didn't know, Bush just got rid of his Treasury Secretary and his other economic advisors yesterday, in fact. We have resumed receiving CBB funding, and it should proceed normally now that we are able to provide financial audits and records. It would be a show of utmost prudence for the foundation to figure out how, and this is a quote from the mission statement, to be as nearly as self-sustaining as possible without this continual over-reliance of radio listener fund drives. Summary, I continue to be very pessimistic and against the unwise, disruptive, and potentially destructive consequences of restructuring the national office operation. We are still in a very precarious financial situation, as everybody has admitted. I still have not seen a detailed operational plan for accomplishing this reorganization, nor current cost fixtures or future projections either. One should be required. We should change the software system for the reason I just stated, I have been previously stated before. We need to have a proactive financial plan to deal with the professional debt claims to get them off the foundation books. The Finance Committee has met, and we've talked about engaging in that, and we're going along toward that. We have a rudimentary plan on how to deal with some of these things, and we are ongoing dealing with some of the negotiations with some of the debt, with the claim holders. The consequences of the bylaws could be horrendous, not only financially, but also operationally. A financial impact statement of the bylaws should be generated. Finally, at some point, the foundation needs to be totally focused on doing only those things that fulfills its mission. That will only happen when the people who are associated with Pacifica are focused on fulfilling the mission. Hopefully, at some point in a not-too-distant future, this will occur, and the financial resources of the foundation will then more fully achieve the end goals for which these resources were allegedly obtained. Beyond that, in the last board meeting, in the last package I had put into the board packages, this brief pamphlet produced by the Board Source, which is a national source for nonprofit boards that had a special issue on accountability. I put that there because I think this should be like required reading from not only this board, but any board, any members who would come into the new board. And it really deals with stuff that we have been not focused on. And we are suffering the consequences of many of the things that this report talks about. I would urge all the National Board current members to read it and take it to heart. I'm open for questions.
Okay, are there questions, George? I see you moving the mic. George and then Marion.
Jabari. Hi, George Barnstrom, Houston. I'm looking at the differences between KPFT and WPFW. Y'all spend a lot of money on why are y'all's expenses so high?
George, let me just answer that. Hold on the budget stuff for a second, okay. Because I just want to see if there's comments or questions of Jabari about the other points that he's raised, and then we're going to move into a more focused discussion specifically on the budgets. Okay? So, Marion, yeah.
In terms of Treasury. Well, let me commend Zavar for his diligence. I mean, he just hangs in here in spite of it all. But more specifically, in terms of the software, is that budgeted, new software budgeted for 2002? 2003?
I don't think so.
Well, are you advocating that we start it now, right?
Excuse me?
How much would it cost, approximately?
Oh, the software itself is $25,500, and training and installation and setup and stuff, they you know, depending on the full cost, they said it was $14,400. But we will recover a lot of that because we've had, you know, and my controller disagrees with this, but, we, you know, there are other issues surrounding that that we have had, and I think that this will stabilize. One of the things that isn't just money is that we lose operational capacity. We have lost many hours of operational capacity with our system. We've had printers that don't work, checks that can't be printed. We've had a whole host of problems that aren't just strict money. You know, you can't put a dollar amount on it. I guess you could try to if you say, "With here's so many hours of lost work productivity," and you put a dollar figure beside that. But we really need to create a stable platform that we don't have to think about, and that really doesn't happen when you have a Windows operating system, because Windows is unfortunately a flaky system, and the software for whatever reasons just stops working.
What does it take to get it done?
To put it on a more stable system.
I mean, who has to make the decision?
You know, I'm putting it out that I want to do it. I have the contract. All it's got to do is be signed, and we can get this thing going. And it would.
Who has to sign it?
You know, well, damn, I have to sign. I gave it to him. He's the executive director. So, you know, like all contracts, whatever contracts of forever, he's the ultimate executive director.
Let's go ask Dan what his position is on this.
Can we ask both Dan and Yasmin what their positions are on this, on the new software that?
As Jabari stated, good morning, everyone. My name is Yasmin Bryan. I'm the interim controller. As Jabari stated, I have disagreed with them because we're still in the process of having everyone trained so they can fully utilize the Great Plains system. We just recently spent a lot of money in consultant just to get the business managers at each station start printing their own reports. We still have one unit that have not. We're in the process of having her come alive. But the problem is that when we move the finance office from L.A., they were on the Solomon system, and then at the same time we're moving the office, we also changed the accounting software. And the business managers, they just began to really get comfortable with the system. We're trying to plan another training in January so they can be able to produce their own financial statement. I think ACPAC is a wonderful software. I've worked on with ACPAC for a number of years, and I think if we were to look 5 years down the road, I think this would be a software to implement in the system.
Pardon me, are you saying you don't think we ought to change at this point?
Not at this point, and that's the opinion of the general managers and the business managers around the system. We're just getting comfortable, as Yasmin is saying, with this new software package, and notwithstanding the merits of ACPAC and of Jabari's proposal, which is something I think we can certainly consider down the line, for right now, in the next 3 to 6 to 9, 12 months, we need to focus on getting our existing accounting practices and system really working 100%.
Ms. Barry, why do you suggest we do it now?
The reason I suggest we do it now because, first of all, the problem isn't the Great Plains. The problem is Microsoft operating system. We have been subjected, since I've been in there only a year, we've had two major virus hits that have taken the system down. Microsoft is just susceptible to virus hits. Okay, because everybody writes viruses to attack Microsoft operating systems. The reason why this is the time to do it because everybody is being trained, and that the issue isn't because everybody is going through training. The issue is not what you get trained on. The issue is because you're going to get trained. Okay, and you're going to get all new people in. from my analysis, I've been looking at this for like 7 months now. The in fact, Yasmin told me about ACPAC, and I did a full scan of. I asked Yasmin when I first came, what are the best software packages out there? I didn't know anything about accounting. So I went and basically looked at all the packages on the web and everything that were suggested, talked to other people, and ACPAC came out to be number one in the sense that it was, you know, they're all good. They will all do the job. But ACPAC was projected or it's told to be a little bit easier, more intuitive, so it's easier to learn. And I've seen it. I went on a web thing and had a little conference thing, and I see how it works. And I went through the training for the Great Plains back in April, too. So I had a direct comparison. But the most important thing is not really the accounting software. I want to move the foundation off of Windows and get it onto to Linux, particularly a stable operating system. And that's a really detailed. I don't want to get into the technical discussions, but it's really a technical thing because we have spent so much money on buying software, buying operational packages, and all these kind of things. And if you're studying the field, more and more companies are moving off of Windows because they have these horrendous licensing schemes that we would have to pay for. On all of our software, when the Microsoft licenses come up, you're going to have to spend more in the license than you would in the actual package, okay, the way they have the licensing things formulated now. And we need to get off of this thing. And the best time to do it is now, but while you're still having people being trained. And we're going to have a whole new staff. We're going to have a whole new staff of people. And so the issue of training is one that has to be looked at, but you should really look at it in a sense that, well, we got new people. Anybody coming in now is going to be trained on whatever's there. And so we are all working on temps now. These people aren't going to be there. Yasmin is going to be eventually gone. Okay. Whoever's going to be there will be working on whatever's there. And so if we put this in now and we do whatever is necessary to do it now, we have a better, stable platform to go into the future with. Then if you try to yank it out, like, you know, you got your baby teeth in now, they're going to fall out anyway. Well, let them fall out and then put your permanent tooth in instead of trying to pull permanent teeth in after your baby teeth fell out. So that's my position. And it's based
that's
on
heavy, man.
And it's based on a technical assessment. I think it's the best thing to do. Yes, it will cost operational a little operational instability. But we can migrate. It's not like you turn the switch off and say you're not going to use that anymore and you put this one in. You migrate it. You have both systems running concurrently until you transfer all the data and so forth. There's a way to do it. I've worked in the government, and we've done this in the government all the time. We do this in the government. When I worked 15 years at NASA. I've gone through a lot of these things, but we've done turnovers in systems because, you know, in my field, technology advances so far, so you had to do it. I know how to do it, and I see what I've done, and I've studied it. I know there are different concerns, but I think particularly at this time, it's the best thing to do, and it's the cheapest time to do it. I talked these people down from a $35,000 price they initially had to a $25,000 price, okay? And I got actually more out of it. I got more seats. I got more licenses to deal with it, okay? So this is like a really good deal. It's a really good deal, and we're not going to get this deal anytime in the future because this was like a once in a short-term thing.
Okay, James.
Leslie, how do we resolve this?
Well, James has his hand up. I don't know. Do you want to talk about this or another issue?
Actually, one of the other issues.
Okay, let's try to resolve this issue.
Pardon me?
Let's see if we can resolve this issue, and then I'll get back to
how do we resolve it?
One way to resolve it is to see if there is a motion. If Jabari wants to, or anybody else for that matter, wants to put on a motion that we, basically the motion would be that we direct the national staff to, you know, take up this, to buy this package and do the shift. Let me just finish, folks. That's one way to proceed, right? That's to take a motion that we accept Jabari's proposal recommendation. The other way to proceed is to just refer this to the national staff and let them make the best decision that they can. So if there is a motion, though, we will entertain it.
Well, if you're going to do it that way, then I would move because we really need to work on this because this is time dependent. This deal is operational to the end of the year because we got some built-in bonus. What did you call it? Deal. They cut us some deals on this thing, and it's predicated on you know time factors. So
okay, so you're making a motion to adopt your recommendation, right?
I'll second it.
Okay.
As secretary, I'd like to just know what the motion is, and can it be shorthand that the motion is the board adopts the treasurer's recommendation of a shift to new software and directs the national staff to implement it. Is that
right?
The motion. All right.
To purchase it and integrate it.
Yeah, I'm going to speak strongly against the motion. I really appreciate Jabari's work. It's been extraordinary and exemplary for a board member in terms of his involvement in energy, getting a great deal and all that. I think, however, we got to remember as a board, we are here to develop policy, and I think this gets into a specific that the staff need to contend with. If all the station managers, the controller, the executive director, the business managers all want to keep on the software, I say let's not change horses. It ain't broke. It ain't great, but it's going on, and I really urge us to move on.
Okay, can we move to the vote?
Well, wait a minute.
Well, I'm asking, can we move to the vote?
Please
there's been a call for the question. Can we move to the vote? Is anybody? I just. No. Are you ready to move?
Second motion. Let's call the question.
Call the question.
I know. We don't need to. We're just going to move right to the vote. Right. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. One, Jabari. All those opposed to the motion, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and abstaining. Two. Okay, so the motion is defeated. Okay, now, James, you had another item you wanted to raise?
With regards to the bylaws meetings in 2002, do you have a process in mind with regards to the cost of the bylaws meetings and also a question as to why they have not been a part of the budgetary process, especially in light of the fact that we are behind and we probably will have future unscheduled meetings?
They're not part of the budget process because they're not budgeted. I mean, that's why that is.
I think that we didn't know until really the September board meeting that we were going to need two more meetings. And one thing that we do need to do today when we are in the bylaws part of the discussion this afternoon, talk about the process and will we need other special meetings. But I don't think it was, I mean, it's not crazy to me that they weren't budgeted for. We didn't know they were going to happen. They did come up. But now we do have to think carefully about what further meetings we do need so they can be budgeted.
So there will be a discussion.
Yeah, later. Yes.
Is it?
Yes, right.
Yeah. I have a question for Yasmin. I believe that the question of the instability of any system based on Microsoft was raised by Jabari earlier. I don't quite remember if it was raised after the system was purchased or before. Is there any reason why we're discussing it now rather than discussing it when the objection was raised earlier? I mean, was this information available before we used the present system? Great Plains.
No.
It was not available.
Now, also, this is a little out of order. I thought we just acted on this issue, and we're moving on.
I had wanted answers to that question. Somebody moved to a vote before I had an answer to it. I'm also concerned that we do not repeat these mistakes. Jabari has a comment here about being saddled with the consequence of unwise and unanalyzed decisions, and I'm concerned that we learn from this mistake and that we understand what happened.
Yes, Carol.
I'd just like to point out that the Solomon system was purchased and the change was made by the last board last year. That wasn't
this
something
Great
we did.
Plains. Solomon was...
I mean, the Great Plains system. The switch from Solomon to Great Plains happened before this board came in.
Right. It was part of what we inherited.
Right.
Are there other comments or questions to Jabari on his report?
I have a question.
Yes, Ray.
I just read the sentence there about unwise and unanalyzed decisions. Now, we just talked about one of them, and I believe you mentioned and budgeted meetings dealing with bylaws. Is there anything else that you have in mind?
Well, I think the biggest mistake that this foundation, the biggest immediate mistake this foundation is going to make, is to create a situation where Yasmin isn't going to be the controller. And I really don't want to think about what's going to happen. I mean, people, I'm there in that office just about every day. I was there from January 11th when I walked in there. Actually, it was January 4th after we had the phone meeting. I was elected treasurer, and I walked in there walked in the national office for the first time, and just walked in that national office, and you could have cut the atmosphere with a machete. I was there when I was the only person who had signature authority on every bank account in this foundation, and I had to be there at 9 o'clock, and I was just signing checks. And I saw what you asked. The best thing I did was to take Joyce's recommendation, because when I came in there, I asked Joyce, well, who was the last controller? And she said, Yasmin. I said, why did she quit? Because I said, well, what happened to her? And Joyce said, she quit. I said, why did she quit? Because she wouldn't do something that Messy Boss Wash asked her to do. So Joyce called up, and we met with her, and Yasmin came back. From day one, she came in and knew exactly what to do. She knew where the bodies were. She knew where the, I mean, I cannot tell you that my greatest fear is in this unwise and unanalyzed restructuring of the finance office, that we're going to lose Yasmin. We've already lost everybody else who was in the finance office, who knew where the accounts were, who knew who the vendors were, who had relationship with vendors, who were putting off foreclosure notices and all kinds of court actions that they were going to file against us. You know, and from an operational point of view, you all just don't understand. I mean, you got to be there to understand what really flies and what's really required. And if you think that you can just move stuff and put new, fresh people in and say, turn on the switch and let it go, it ain't going to happen like that. It is not going to happen like that. And that is my greatest fear from the financial operational point of view, is that when Yasmin is gone and you have a bunch of people who don't know anything about Pacific, don't know anything about the past accounts, don't know anything, and that the only other capacity of financial knowledge resides within the business managers or the general managers, who don't know really the whole picture from the national perspective, I really fear that, and I don't really want to be around to see what comes out of that.
Esme?
Jabari, I thank you, but trust me, there's going to be someone out there that's probably better than I am right now, but thank you very much.
They're not going to work as hard.
All right, thank
well,
you.
Well, that's true.
I do want to... Again, I hope everybody recognizes the incredible work that Yasmin and other folks on the national staff have done. And we do very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
George, did you have Teresa?
I had a question too.
Teresa and then George. Sorry, she had her hand up first.
Jabari, in regard, I'm coming from a station that doesn't have elections.
Hold on one second. I just, folks, it's 25 after 11. We have to look at the budgets also. So I'm not going to cut off debate here, but please, let's raise questions and Jabari try and answer them quickly. Raise them quickly, answer them
well,
quickly.
Well, this is, I guess, a question for you, Leslie. I am very concerned, and it's, I guess, a question for Carol also, but I think you can answer it succinctly, like with a yes or a no. He stated, and we're from a station that hasn't had elections, and I know elections cost a lot of money, and it's not just a matter of money, but, as he said, just always being in the mode of campaigning and elections every year, and I guess elections cost $6,000 to $8,000 a piece, something like that, perhaps?
At KPFA, the cost of printing and mailing was between $10,000 and $12,000 That's for 25,000 person mailing.
Okay.
So at KPFT, I checked all the budgets, and I see they're in there for between 5,000 and 6,000 for the smaller stations with fewer ballots to print and mail.
So I'm anticipating that, like with KPFT, we're jumping from the cost of nothing with our current system of putting people on the board to possibly $10,000 or $8,000 to $10,000. And he's asking for a financial impact statement generated before ratification, assessing not only the financial impact of elections, but also the operational impact they have on the stations. Is that realistic for him to expect? Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Well, I don't know. Jim might be able to tell us what kind of other financial impacts having elections 2 years in a row at KPFA has had. To my knowledge, it hasn't had any. There's been some on-air forums. All of the public events that where the community members could come and meet the candidates nights, those were sponsored by local groups and so forth. And we never spent any money on it at KPFA. So I don't know what the financial impact is other than the cost of printing and mailing. Phil might be able to tell us.
Yeah, is there a quick answer? Is there additional impact? Phil's shaking his head no. Jim Bennett, the station manager, is shaking his head no.
So you didn't hire a person to be in charge of the elections?
Our elections coordinator was a volunteer.
Okay.
Very gracious and expert person in managing elections from Fairvote, but I don't...
And the $10,000 you raised outside of the pledge
drive?
Yeah,
we raised it in addition to outside of KPFA's fund drive, but it's in the budget now for KPFA to pay for it.
Okay, is that an answer question? Okay, George.
Thank you. Jabari, this is a question for you, for Dan, Yasmin, folks at KPFT, and your manager here. I see that.
Okay, George, hold on again. I just want to make sure that we're done. I know I have one other further general thing to say about Jabari's report, and then we're moving into the budgets. You'll be the first person on the budget list. Okay? David, did you? Okay, I just wanted to say one thing, and I do not want to open up a whole can of worms here, but I do want to go on record as having some problem some concern about the first sentence on the top of page 2. Until the people who do and will operate this foundation put the health and welfare of the foundation first and foremost above personal and individual concerns, it will continue to suffer. I want to be very clear. I want to go on record here, and I hope the whole board goes on record, that I don't believe that there is a person, and I have had some severe disagreements with people, and people have had severe disagreements with me about things, but I do not agree there is one person involved in the operation of this foundation who has put personal and individual concerns above the needs of this foundation. And I actually would ask you to remove that sentence from your report. I think it really is undermining to the cohesive approach that we have in developing and is not necessary. It doesn't really add to your report. I think it distracts from your report.
Well, can I tell you why I put it in there?
Sure.
Okay, because as the treasurer, I sign a lot of checks, okay? And I'm very concerned with how we don't have the operational structure to really allocate our resources in what I consider to be the most prudent and most, you know, prioritized manner. And I'm just very concerned that some of the things that I see going on, I don't think are high priority to the foundation. That's my opinion. And so until management
starts to allocate the resources. Okay, give you an example. I'll give you a really good example. This meeting right here was scheduled way back in, I think, January of last year when we scheduled these meetings, okay? Right. And we knew we were going to be in Washington, and we knew we were going to be in December, okay? We don't have staff to go out and organize these meetings correctly. We are overburdening Joyce and Yasmin with stuff that they have no business even being involved with, calling up and doing anything. So in the process of that, we originally had this meeting booked at the DoubleTree Hotel. Well, that wasn't acceptable, and so we had to cancel that. That cancellation cost the foundation $5,300, okay? We donated $5,300 to the DoubleTree Hotel because we didn't have the communication and the staff and the infrastructure and people on the right on the same wavelength, so that issue would have been brought out so that when it got into the operational implementation, we would have known that, okay, don't do that. And what I'm trying to say is these breakdowns in communications, these failures to put on the table philosophical and other types of concerns that have direct operational impact aren't being done. And in that instance, we out $5,300, okay? And so these are and I could just go down the list, and I ain't going to do it because it would take too much time. It would bore the hell out of you. But I'm just sitting there looking at all this stuff. And many things are all of our money is decided on by individual people deciding they're going to spend money on certain things. Okay.
Jabari.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying that's my concern, that we need to better manage our money, and we need to have everybody be accountable and on the page, and every allocation should be subjected to how does this fit the mission.
Jabari,
okay, David.
Yeah, Dave Furta, KPFK. I'm going to address that basically. Jabari, I attributed that brash statement that Leslie decried as, youthful exuberance and the arrogance of a beautiful mind. So I discounted it. However, you're using the example of the DoubleTree of using a non-union hotel in a right-to-work state of Virginia, in a redneck state of Virginia. No offense to the wonderful good people in Virginia, but I used to live in D.C., The DoubleTree Hotel is a non-union hotel, and the fact that I'll criticize the local advisory board and the people in the beautiful city of Washington, D.C. for not having organized this and having left it to staff. We shouldn't do that. We are a volunteer organization. But I don't give a damn. If it costs us $7,000 or more, we are not meeting in a union hotel. We're meeting in a Unitarian church. We're meeting in the city of Washington, D.C., in the neighborhood, in the community. And that's where we should be. And if it costs us to be principled, then damn it, we're going to pay that cost. So I resent the notion that you use that as an example of selfish interest. I look at it as an example of beautiful principle. Thank you.
No.
Okay. Again, Jabari, when I raised this, I did it with a question that I didn't want to open up a whole big can of worms. I just wanted to go on record that I had a problem with that statement. So, you responded. David responded. I think we do need to move the agenda. The agenda, and the next part of the agenda is the revised budgets. I don't know if there are other copies. I don't know if the station managers have been given the revised budgets. And I don't know if the lab chairs have been given the revised budget. So we apologize for not having enough copies for folks, for at least those folks. But well, at least the board does have.
Well, let me just talk about the budget, because I talked about the budget.
Yeah, and then I'd like Yasmin also
okay.
to talk about
because,
it.
Because, again, I want to talk about the process. I'm not going to talk about the numbers. I want to talk about the process, not the numbers. The numbers are almost irrelevant. They're not the most important thing. We don't have a real budgetary process. We don't, because budgets are derived from goals and goals and objectives. You first says, this is what we think we want to do for this year. These are the resources we think we have to use and create and generate to do it. And this is how we're going to allocate it. That's a budgetary process. Anybody can sit down money and say, I'm going to put this and this and put this in this column. But that's not a budgetary process. That's accounting. Accounting is different from budgeting. Budgeting has a political and managerial focus and perspective. Accounting is just the filling in of the columns. Okay? We don't have a budgetary process because we don't operate from a total framework of fully putting on the table what we think we want to do for the year. And this is where I talk about unwise and unanalyzed decisions. If we had sat and actually thought about it, as I did, we would have been able to see that, hey, look, we're not going to get bylaws done in the format that we created. I mean, wasn't the only one who said that when that format was created. And I've said it before, we're not going to get the bylaws done under the present situation. So that means we're going to have more meetings and more meetings and more meetings. So whether you think I'm wrong or not, the fact is, if we have a meeting in January, which is now called for, that's going to be another $10,000, $15,000. And you just keep adding it up. What I'm trying to say is, because we as a board don't deal in reality and don't allocate our scarce resources to reality, then it doesn't matter that we hold a meeting because somehow we'll just pay for it. And that attitude has got to stop. We need to be, I keep saying, we need to be deliberative, we need to be objective, and we need to be analytical. And we don't have to engage in seat of the pants financial operations. And I'm sorry if people don't like it. I hope that the foundation will exist to be able to continue to grow. I think the foundation will always grow because you'll always find enough people to have the stations operate. But the stations operations don't make a national network, okay? Merely surviving by the stations being able to go on the air does not make us be the foundation that I think we should be and I think we're required to be under our Articles of Incorporation.
Okay.
Point of
information, and then I wondered if Yasmin had opening comments.
Okay. My question is, after you you strongly opposed, what happened then? Are we? Did you have it taken out, or was there?
No, I just went on record that I opposed it.
Because it sounded as if you were saying take it out.
I was asking for that, but he didn't want to.
Oh.
So he does. You know, he doesn't have to.
Leslie.
Yeah, I would really want to move to the budget.
One point on the board meeting. Was the board meeting scheduled to be in Crystal City?
This meeting. Well, yeah. Maren, we'll fill you in later, okay? There was a whole back and forth about where this meeting would take place.
Well, I'm saying anybody who would think that we're going to go to Virginia.
Okay. I really, folks, we don't have the time now to revisit this. Okay, Yasmin, do you want to give any overview? And then I know George has some questions and concerns he wants to raise.
Mr. Radcliffe, I finished the budget at 7:30 Friday with the last station manager. It was not my intent not to distribute the budget to the lab chair.
Okay. Do you want to give us an overview of what we have before us, or do you want to just jump right into questions?
I think given the time that we had to complete the budget, especially national budget, we definitely need to have more conversations on the national budget and probably just the budget overall. I can't take questioning right now, but I'm recommending that we do have a conference call where we go through the budget and then we can adopt the adjusted budget for fiscal 2023.
Okay, let's see how far we get during this conversation. George was first, and then Carol.
Thank you. This may be more a question for, I'm not sure who, you, Jabari, or Dan, Yasmin, Tony, or Dwayne. I'm looking at this, and to compare T to W, I mean, you guys...
I'm sorry, George, be clear about where exactly you are on the page.
I'm looking, on total income, y'all have... Almost you have $1,467,000 of income, and we only have $1,125,000. It's almost $350,000 more, and yet y'all only have a surplus of $6,000 more than we have. And I was talking to Dan; he mentioned that y'all spend more on gimmies for the fundraisers. But I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing y'all are spending, you know, over $30,000 more for child care. Come on, y'all. You're spending more than $100,000 more for administrative.
You know, child care consists of medical, dental, and vision.
You know, Houston is one of the most polluted cities in the world. Are you telling me that y'all are unhealthier here in D.C. than we are in Houston?
No. It's the cost of insurance. It's the insurance cost.
Also, WPFW has more staff than KPFT. And also, KPFT owns their buildings, which means that they do not pay rent, while WPFW pays $6,500 per month for rent.
And that's part of administrative?
Yes.
Okay. Just so everyone's clear, the top page that you're looking at, the top two pages, I'm sorry, are the consolidated budget. Following that, you will have the breakdowns for each of the stations. I know, I'm talking to the board. We know there aren't copies. Again, let me say this one more time and last time. We apologize that there are not copies available for the station managers and the lab chairs and the general public. But we do have, you know, so we'll just have to keep moving, though. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that the top sheet is the consolidated budgets, more in-depth of what salaries mean or what administrative costs are, how that's broken down are in within each station budget, and then near the end is the national office budget, and at the very end are the archives budget. Okay?
Leslie?
Yes,
Marion? Do you intend for us to adopt this budget today?
Well, we need to talk about that because Yasmin was suggesting, I was hoping that we would adopt the budgets today. Let me actually remind people, I'm sorry, I should have done this at the very beginning. At the September meeting, which is right before the end of the fiscal year, the beginning of the next fiscal year, the September meeting is always supposed to adopt the budget for the next fiscal year because it's just a few weeks after that. We adopted a budget conditional on seeing adjusted budgets at this meeting where we would take further action. So I came into this meeting assuming that we would adopt the budget. Yasmin just now suggested that we have discussion about it, but postpone the adoption, I'm not sure for how long, for I guess a few weeks, I don't know what the recommendation is, and do a conference call in order to adopt the budget. But so we need to talk about that. What I want to suggest, though, is that before we discuss the timing, whether or not we're going to do it today, that we spend the next half hour or however long we need to ask the questions, to look at what's in here, to see where we are, and then come to the question of are we prepared to adopt it today.
Leslie, my problem is that I don't know about anybody else. I just got this.
Right.
No, he hadn't finished.
Was this distributed earlier? Or we just
it was just distributed last night.
Okay.
So all of us got it.
Okay.
Late. Okay. Carol is next.
Well, first of all, looking at the consolidated budget and seeing that the total consolidated budget is a deficit budget of $407,888,000. I think the board certainly cannot approve a deficit spending for this year. So until we discuss how to make a balanced budget and address the issues and look at the places where we're either spending too much or where we have under-projected revenue or something, I don't think that we can approve this budget. Clearly, we've got a problem in the national office. The national budget is $820,000, $809 deficit. So the national office is would use up all of the surplus from all of the stations to bring to reduce that to half, and we'd still be $400,000 deficit, and that's not including any of our cash flow needs to pay off our accumulated debts from prior years.
Exactly.
The settlement agreements that we've entered into for our debts are not in here. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So we've got obligations to various of our creditors that we've entered into settlement agreements with. That's not in here. So clearly this budget cannot be approved. So we need to start talking about what and where we can cut. And I obviously, none of us have seen this. We just got it last night. But I did have a couple of things that I wanted to point out. And here they are.
In which budget are you looking
at? In the National Office budget, page 2. Fiscal year, it's near the back, page 2. Under administrative expenses, we have from March through September National Office rent, which will not be incurred because we will have vacated the National Office in Washington. Is that correct? It's page 2. The line item is six. It's numbered code number 6610, studio office rent. It's projected at $74,699 this year. There are 7 months in there that won't occur from March through March 7, from March through September. Yeah. That's a $43,000 savings.
I left that in because we have not yet finalized the contract. Based on the agreement that we have put forward to a landlord, there's a possibility that if they are able to rent the space, then I think we only have to pay 3% of what the total rental space is. If they're not, then we're going to be obligated to pay that lease through 2004. So
well, we could sublease it.
But they have there are a lot of stipulations on who we can sublease to.
Right.
And because I did not know at this time the outcome of what the lease is going to be, because the 3% may total what the balance of the rent will be for the year. I just don't have that answer right now. And we probably will not have that answer until after the holidays.
All right. Well, that's one item that we need to look at carefully. I think based on our prior discussions, we do expect to see a significant savings there.
Yes, hopefully.
Right. That's one. Looking at professional services legal, that's on the same page, National Office Budget, page 2. That's coded 6530. We have projected from December through September 03, $30,000 a month. That seems high. Our legal expenses, what do you think is going to be included in that? Yasmin, I just wanted to ask if you...
Well, the first month is actually I think because of our new legal commitments and based what we have been spending, I basically put 30. We can look at that line item and see what we're going to do with the legal firms that we do have right now. Until we have made a decision on that, then this line item will be able to reduce.
Well, I know I don't want to go too far into details of what the actual legal cases outstanding are, but Squire and Sanders has completed their work for us in all except the one personnel matter. Is that correct?
No, what about decision strategy?
No, I think she has a couple of cases that she's currently working on.
Personnel matters?
Yes.
Okay. So there's some personnel matters there to complete, and then there's the two pending legal actions, one with Epstein, Becker, and Green, and one with Decision Strategies. It's my understanding that those are going to be handled through Stein.
Right, and I just did, based on the retainer fee that we paid him, I just basically average about $15,000 for him on a monthly basis. Now, I may have averaged too much.
Yeah, I think this is way high.
Okay.
Based on what I think we're going to face here, I think we can reduce that significantly.
We should talk
about that.
Okay.
I think we can save $125,000 on legal things there, and we can talk about that in more detail. The other thing I wanted to ask about is we are budgeting $156,000 in development expenses. This is for printing and mailing primarily. I'm assuming that's to do some...
I must admit there's a $50,000 error there.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, at least do a favor.
I'm sorry, I went to page 3 of the National Office budget, and in the middle of the page is development expenses.
What is there added into the budget?
National Office budget, page 3. How does this $50,000 affect us, to the good or to the bad?
To the good. We had planned to do a mail drop in this quarter, but we decided not to do that because of the time, and also, too, the stations were going through their fund drive, and I removed the revenue, but I did not remove the expenses. So it's going to be $50,000 given back to the bottom line.
Okay, though, so that's great.
Is that in the November column there?
November $50,000 is out.
$50,000 in November is out.
10, and then also 6772,
right,
which would be the postage. The two under the November 02.
So we're reducing it
50,000. So it's minus 50,000 there.
If you guys can just give the numbers so we can.
Okay, so there's 50,000 coming out there, and that would reduce the total budget for development from 156 to 106. Correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, now, we do not have the salaries breakdown for the national, and I'm assuming that in the salaries breakdown we don't have. There is a development director. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
I will tell you when that position is targeted to start.
What page?
You don't have this.
It's not on here.
So
we have that position starting in January.
Okay. So in the National Office budget, going to the income page, which is page 1, I'm looking at projected total income last year and this year for the national office, not including income we get from station central services and so forth. And our income is, we're projecting $50,000 less than last year, but we're adding a development director. So we're planning to raise less money and spend more to raise it because we're going to hire someone to raise money. So my question is then, I'm assuming we expect the development director to raise more money than the budget reflects, and that we expect our development director to go out and find money for the foundation that we haven't shown in this budget to justify hiring somebody. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because Dan has been back and forth, we really have not sat down to map out what kind of revenue we believe we can generate. And this is one of the reasons why I've asked us to postpone adopting the budget until Dan and I have really sat down and go through the budget. Another thing that's affecting the decrease in revenue is that we're just not getting enough SCA income. We're
that's
only
right.
projecting $252,000 in SCA income.
Right.
If you could understand, that's 100%, you know, to the bottom line, because there are no expenses associated with that revenue. So we really need to sit down with Dan and probably with the finance committee to see what other avenues we can do to raise money. But I know that we have not targeted what the goals are for the development director, how much money this person can bring in.
Right. So I want to make a suggestion, and that is, I'm glad you brought up the SCA, decrease in SCA, because that's very significant. Pacifica, originally, when we started getting this SCA income, I was budgeted, and that was what was funding and launched our national programming.
Exactly.
The SCA is the sub-area, right?
Yes.
Can someone just quickly explain what that is, how we get the money? Dan?
Each of our 5 signal areas have 3 sideband frequencies with them that are rented out to specialist broadcasters, for instance, a broadcaster seeking to reach new immigrant communities in some of the bigger cities. They rent out that side carrier. People can buy a special receiver and get that broadcasting, and so we rent out those spaces. Traditionally, one of the bigger customers for our sidebands had been Dow Jones to distribute financial information. But many companies that used to take rent those sidebands now, like Dow Jones, are finding alternative ways, like over the internet, to distribute that information, and therefore the revenue coming from these sideband carriers year after year in recent years has been decreasing relatively sharply. So we're in a bit of a bind with the sidebands, trying to figure out if there's any way we could try to stem that decrease in revenue. But it is a difficult period for us. But everybody tells us in the industry that this, as Carol was saying, is something that is not going to generate the kind of revenue that it did in the past for Pacifica.
Right. So taking that into account, I think we, as I said earlier, we need a new revenue stream national in order to fund national programming. Our stations can't do it. And I would like to suggest that we come up with, I mean, we've launched a new national program this year. We don't have a budget for that either. And that we make targets for our development director to raise the money to cover our national programming expenses through seeking grants and other means of finding money, and that go in the budget. And this board definitely do not approve a deficit spending budget for this year. We need to do that.
Okay. Other comments? Marion, James, David, and myself also.
A couple of things. One is that it seems to me that we need to have a line in this budget for contingencies. The special board meetings or the bylaws adoptions or anything may come up in a corporation. So we ought to have, I'm not sure how much, but we ought to have some line in there for contingencies, so that when we have to move on an emergency basis tomorrow or something else, we don't say we don't have any money, or we just spend it anyway and not be budgeted. Secondly, I think we, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, but it is a philosophical policy decision as to whether or not we adopt a deficit budget. There are some foundations and some nonprofits that do adopt deficit budget to a certain amount, a certain percentage of your total budget, than the others who require balanced budgets. So, Carol, we've not yet made the decision, it seems to me, whether this foundation is willing to adopt a deficit budget or not. As I said, I'm not sure how I feel about it in this case. I know how I feel about it when it comes to a city. We don't have a balanced budget because it gets you in trouble. But nationally, they don't feel the same way, though. So, so Carol, I mean, could you sort of share just a minute or two your view why we shouldn't adopt a deficit budget?
What I'd like to do is see if there are more detailed questions about the budget or suggestions or whatever. Then come to this question about should we have a deficit? You know, is it okay to have a deficit budget or not? You know, and then the timing
of
when
we're
going
to
adopt it.
It seems to me that we or just sat on the level of this contingency fund. I'm not sure.
Right, the contingency item, line item. Yeah. That. Okay, James was next, then David.
I'm hopeful that this is a detailed question for
Yasmin.
For Yasmin.
I'm sorry.
In this budget, who makes a decision as to the board's line spending for the board? Would it be you? Would you create that line, or would the board make it and advise you? How does that work?
I create that line, and basically when I look at the expenses and how do I project the future expenses for the board, that's strictly based on past historical data. However, fiscal 203 will be very unusual because we have budgeted two extra bylaw meetings. So based on where the meetings are,
yeah, they're in there.
The meetings are in this budget?
Yes, it's called board meeting. 6590 is the GL number or the account
6590?
Number.
6590?
Where is it? What page?
On the second page of the national budget under administrative expenses, 6590, it says travel/national board meetings. So it's in there. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where all the expenses that are related to the board meetings.
It's right here.
are
put.
Which really are the only national board expenses. I mean, some conference calls also.
Right,
but there are no other national board expenses besides the meetings and some conference calls.
So the cost for this, for the national office is like a moving target also because of these meetings. Because you don't
exactly.
know. Okay, so that's an expenditure of $136,000 that you projected, but the actual costs are beyond that, right?
No, that's the adjusted budget numbers that we had last year. Again, you know, as soon as we get the audited financial statement back in, should produce in February, we will know exactly what the total amount for the board meeting for fiscal 2002.
So the board, at this point, the board, we haven't made arrangements for the meetings for the rest of the year or of this fiscal year. So you have no idea how many meetings we're going to be having.
Right. We have scheduled the meetings for the national board meeting, but in reference to the bylaws, I think that's probably going to be talked about at the end of this meeting.
Okay.
So I will have some idea of what our next meetings are. So when I go back in a week or so and present the budget to you guys, that will be included in the budget.
Right. She put in here three projected, one for